Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Kedushin Nuntes. You know, let's go back to the beginning of the Perek, the beginning of the Mishnah, and learn it again, which will lead us into the new sugya. So the Mishnah has three parts. Number one, Ha'imer l'chaveroi, a fellow turns to his friend, say, v'kadesh li isha plenis. Please, be mekadesh a certain isha for me. V'ha'lach v'kitcha la'atzmei. And this fellow goes ahead. So Reuben asked Shimon, be mekadesh me an isha. Shimon goes ahead and is mekadesh that same isha for himself. Mekadesh es l'sheni. Okay, it's a done deal. She is now Shimon's wife. Although it's inappropriate, the Gemara will call him a Ramai, a dishonest fellow, not a man of integrity, but nevertheless, what is done is done. Next case. V'chein o'imer li'isha. Hareyat mekudeshes li la'achar shleishim yoyim. Reuben approaches Rachel, you're my wife after 30 days. So I'm giving you a ring now, which will take effect. The Kedushin will be applied in 30 days. And a second fellow comes right in, moves in right in the middle, and is mekadesh isha ba'acher b'kitcha within 30 days b'toich shleishim yoyim. Once again, second fellow gets her. Mekudesh es l'sheni, bas yisroel l'koyin, toich al b'trum. So if this isha was from a Yisrael family and is now engaged to this second fellow, right, the fellow who came right in there and it was mekadesh within 30 days, he's a koyin, she can share his truma like an ordinary wife. Case 3 of the Mishnah. Reuben approaches Rachel with a ring. Me'achshav u'l'achar shloshim yoyim. You know, you're mekudesh to me. Me'achshav, starting now, and it will culminate after 30 days. Now, the Gemara will speak and explain exactly how to interpret these words, but that's what he says. Me'achshav u'l'achar shloshim yoyim. So, basically, in simple form, we're not sure what he meant. Did he mean to make it conditional, or did it mean that the condition starts now and sort of concludes in 30 days? And what happened? Once again, a second fellow drives right in there, uba'acher v'kitcho b'tech shereshm yoyim, and a second fellow comes as mekadesher within this 30-day period. We're not sure whose wife she is. We're not sure whose condition takes precedence. Mekadeshes? Venim kadeshes? She's married but not married. We're not sure whom she's married to, and therefore she's in limbo. For instance, regarding Teruma, Bas Yisrael l'Koyin, Oy Bas Koyin l'Yisrael, if she comes from a Yisrael family, she's now supposedly engaged to one of these fellows who happens to be a Koyin, or the opposite, Bas Koyin l'Yisrael, she comes from a Koyin family, and these fellows are Yisrael. L'Teichel b'Teruma, she cannot have Teruma because basically she's in limbo, we're not sure whether or not she's married. So we have three cases. Case number one, Reuben asks Shimon, please go be mekadesh and isha on my behalf. Shimon goes and is mekadesh isha for himself. He is the husband. Second case. Reuben approaches Rachel. You're mekadesh to me after 30 days. So here is the money, but it's only going to take effect after 30. Shimon comes in as mekadesh immediately. That condition takes effect. Case number three. Here's the ring. You're mekadesh to me. May achshav ula achar shloshim yayim. In this case, we have a suffix. Says the Gemara, we began with Ha'omer l'chaveroi, say v'kadesh. He instructs his friend to be mekadesh and isha for him. And that fellow did it for himself. Tana, we learn in a braisa, well, masha asa asi. What Shimon did holds. It takes effect, but it's not recommended. Ela shenog boy minagramois. Shimon conducted himself with his good friend Reuven as a Ramai, with this honesty, because he's turned his back on him and he betrayed him. So that's in the Bryce. But actually, we see the same point in our Mishnah as well, highlighted by the fact that the Mishnah adds a word which seems unnecessary. The Tana did done in our Tana, in our Mishnah, Halach. Why does it say Halach? Halach v'kitcha la'atzmai. What's the point of v'halach? Why do we need to know that he went? And it's an extra word. Halach nami diktoni. The reason why the Mishnah mentions halach, to highlight this fellow's lack of integrity. Halach beramos. He chose to go down the path of betrayal and dishonesty. Okay, now, we have a deek in the words of the Mishnah. We begin with Ha'imer L'chaveiroi. He approached his good friend, please be Mekadosh and Isha on my behalf. It doesn't say he was a Shaliach, which basically means an appointed fellow who was entrusted with this mission, with this job. Go do this job for me. No, he just happened to encounter his friend on the road. Please, you're going there, be Mekadosh and Isha for me if you happen to find her. So that's Lashon in our mission. A non-Shaliach, non-appointed representative. So why is it that in our Mishnah we chose lechaver a non-shaliach or maishna hasam, but in the other Mishnah we had back on daf nun amar aleph maishna hasam d'tani ya'im l'shluchay? Over there the Mishnah speaking where Reuben asked somebody, he entrusted him with a mission, go be mekadesh, go make a special trip, be mekadesh Rachel for me. In one location, in a specific city, in, say, New York. And Shimon chose to be Mekadisher in Chicago, in a different place. Mishnah says, well, it doesn't work. I had a reason why I preferred one location over the other. That's where I have my good friends who will advocate on my behalf and promote this Shidduch. So whatever the reason is, you didn't follow instructions. You were a Shliach who did not follow instructions. It doesn't work. So the question is, why did the Mishnah pick the Lashon, Ha'imel Shlucha, instead of just Ha'imel Chaveroi? He happened to chance by his friend who was going in that direction. Just like in our Mishnah, where it's Ha'imel Chaveroi, and not Ha'imel Shlucha. So why is it over here Ha'imel Chaveroi, over there Ha'imel Shlucha? Answer, each Mishnah is highlighting a specific aspect which pertains to that respective halacha and brings out the halacha even more. Over here, by mentioning a non-shliach, it brings out a chiddush. And likewise, in that case, in the other Mishnah, by mentioning shliach specifically, it highlights an important aspect of that halacha. The chiddush in our Mishnah with a non-shliach is the itan shaluchay. If the Mishnah had mentioned that, in fact, Reuven entrusted Shimon with this mission, he sent him to Mekadesh the Isha, and he was going on his behalf. Havamina would say, well, in this case, when he betrayed his sender, turned his back on him, and he did the kedushin for himself, the reason why he's a Ramai, the reason why he's considered a dishonest fellow is because he was entrusted with a mission. The fellow placed his trust in him. The Samchadate, Savar Avad Lishlichusi, he was totally relying on him. He was going specially for him. Of course, he'll carry out my mission. What's he doing? Turning his back on me? That's a Ramai. Aval chaveiro de lisom chadaite. But suppose he's just a random fellow. He wasn't really entrusted with this mission. Just a friend who he happened to meet on the road, who happened to go in that direction. Lisom chadaite. He wasn't really placing his trust on him. So in that case, perhaps when this fellow turns around and takes the isha for himself, he's not considered a Ramai. He's not considered a betrayal of trust. Comes the Mishnah and says, no, even in this case, it's very inappropriate. It's called a Ramai. So that's the point in our Mishnah. And likewise, Hosom Rabusa Kamashmalon, likewise in the Mishnah over there with the change of location, there's a chiddush in the fact that the Mishnah mentions a Shliach specifically. If the Mishnah only speaks about it, just a plain friend doing his mission, I would say, it's only in that case that if he changed locations, if he switched cities on him, he was Mekadosh in the other place instead of this place, it doesn't work because, the potential husband, the sender, never fathomed that this fellow is going to go, seek the Isha in the other town. He was going to New York. He didn't expect him to go to Chicago. To Savarlay Tarach. He didn't think he would make that extra effort for him, so it was not included in his mandate, in his shlichus, and it's not a kiddush. Ava shlucha de Tarach. But when he specifically hired him for the job, he made him a shlich, go do this for me in this town. So perhaps even if he changed locations, it's not critical because it was just sort of a reference. You'll find her in New York, but of course, if you amatriach yourself and actually go the extra mile, so to speak, to Chicago, of course I'm okay with it. Comes the mission and says, no, Kamash Malon, I asked New York specifically, and not Chicago. So bottom line, our Mishnah mentions Emel Chaver to bring out a certain point of Ramois, which applies even to a Chaver. And the change of location in the other Mishnah is highlighted by the point that it's even a shliach, and it still doesn't work. Okay, on the topic of integrity and honesty, we have a couple of stories. Ravin Chasida, that was his name, Ozel lekedusha leitasa, he went to be mekadosh an isha lebrei on behalf of his son. Now, Tosfos points out that the son didn't make him a shliach. It's not common. It's not respectful. We had this back on Daf Mem Hei. A son doesn't appoint the father as a shliach. So what happened? The son expressed interest in this isha, and the father sort of went and offered his services to be mekadosh the isha for his son. And what happened? Kitchul nafshe. Ultimately, the father was mekadosh the isha for himself instead of for the son. V'atanya, but we have an our Mishnah, and expressed by the Brisa as well, right? V'atanya, masha asa asui. Sure, it works. Elashanog by minig ramois. It's an act of ramois. Why did Rabban Chassida, this great man, conduct himself in this manner? The answer is lo yavua ni'alei. Of course, he tried. He attempted to have it for his son, but they didn't want to hand her over for the son. They weren't interested in the son. So therefore he chose to take her for himself. Well, still, he should have come clean. He should have explained to his son ahead of time what's happening. He should have informed him. He figured Savar, he figured the Hachi Vachi, there's no time to waste. As this is going to happen, us, another fellow would approach her and be Mekadosh her, so therefore he seized the opportunity and he was Mekadosh her for himself. Another story regarding Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Yoiv Leizuzi, he handed over some money to Rav, Amar, with the following request. Zavna Niali, please purchase for me, Lahai Ara, this specific property. So Rav took the money, and what happened? He purchased the property using his own money for himself, instead of for Rav Bar Chana. Ozol Zavna Lenavshe. How could he do that? It's Ramois. Vatanya, we looked at a Brisa, Masha Asa Asui, Ela Shanag, by Minig Ramois. The answer is, he had no choice. Baaga, a valley. It means, an area of the Alimi Hava, which belonged to strong men, difficult people. So, Larav Nahagabe covered. So, they had respect for Rav, and they willingly sold him a field. But Larav Abarachana, who attempted to purchase the field, Lay Nahagabe covered, they didn't have the same degree of respect for him, and therefore they wouldn't sell him that land. So Rav didn't have a choice. He could not do it on behalf of Rabba Bar Chana. Well, once again, he should have come clean. He should have explained himself. He should have informed Rabba Bar Chana before approaching and proceeding with his own sale. So he figured he might miss the chance. By the time that happens, another fellow will come and grab it and buy it. Therefore, he chapped the right. Next story, Rav Gittel. There was a story involving him. He was trying to purchase a certain property. Have a mahafich. Mahafich literally means, turning over, but it means negotiating. He was trying to buy a certain field. Bahiya Ara. And by the time he got to the point, Ozal Rabbi Ava went along and purchased that same field that Rabbi Gidl was trying to buy. Ozal Rabbi Gidl Kavli. The Rabbi Zeru. So Rabbi Gidl came to complain to Rabbi Zeru. Look what happened. Look what Rabbi Abba did to me. Also Rabbi Zeru. So Rabbi Zeru was sort of not sure how to. So he went and he relayed the story, the complaint, the kavlei to who? The Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Amalei. So Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha responds to Rabbi Zeru. Let's give it some time. Hamtein atshiyala etklenu lerek. Let's not prejudice him. Let's see what he has to say. Let's wait until he comes up and joins us by the drashas, by the shurim, which they used to have by the yamim tovim. They used to come be makabel pnei Rav to greet the rebbe. So he'll come amongst the multitude. We'll see him. We'll notice him. We'll approach him and ask him. Okay, that's what happened. Kisolak. So ultimately, Rav Abba arrives. Ashkechei and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha notices him. Amalei approaches him with a sort of a benign question. I have a question for you. Ani mahapech becharono. Suppose a poor man is making an effort to take possession of a ownerless a hefker item, a charoro, a cake or some baked goods. It's just a mashal. Basically, he's trying to get something for himself. Another fellow comes and snatches it away before the Ani got a chance to take possession. What would you say? What's the Allah? My, how would you treat this fellow? Amalei says, what do you mean? This is totally not right. Nikra Rasha. Okay, once he says that, So Rav Yitzchak Nafcha turns back and he says, one second, I have a question. Velamar, my time of adhochi. You're right on. The fellow's a Rasha. So why did you do a similar thing with Rav Gidl with the property? Why did you buy it out before you got a chance? Amar lo lo yavi yadana. The truth is, it's the first time I heard of it. I didn't know that Rav Gidl had an interest in buying that field. I'm sorry. Well, hashtanami nesvini alei mar. Okay, so now that you know, please give it back to him. Armalais, he says, now I'm stuck. I'd love to do it, but there's a problem. Look, I'm out of options. Zivuni leimaz beninala. I'm not going to sell it to him. Da'aro kamaisi. It's my first land, and masamna milsa. It's not a good simon to sell off your first property. They bring from Yashiv. Only in the olden days, or something like a field which was yours for keeps for all time. But you know, nowadays you buy an apartment and then you move out into the bigger place and then you grow out of that one. So initially, the kavana, the plan was, the intention was to sort of upgrade and continue moving on and selling the first and buying. So it's not called a lack of simon toiv, but when it's something which is meant to be yours permanently and you go and you sell it, so the first property that you own you shouldn't be selling. So I don't want to sell it. If he wants to take it as a gift, I'm willing to give it as a gift for free. That's how honest he was. So what happened? Rav Gidl le Nachisla. Rav Gidl, the claimant here, he didn't take possession of the field. He didn't want to take it as a gift. I don't take gifts. Tichsiv v'soinei matonis yichi. One who dislikes gifts, his life is prolonged. Maral explains. A gift taker is dependent. His life is a life of dependence. Soinu Matanus asserts independence. He's connected to Hashem, the ultimate provider. He gets life. And in fact, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's Midas Chasidus. It's extra virtuous to conduct oneself in this manner, not to accept gifts. Soinu Matanus Yichin. So that was out. He didn't want to take it as a gift. Rabbi Abba, who was the current owner, who actually purchased the field, Lenachaslo, he refused to, use the field, Mishum Dahafech Barav Gidl, because he discovered that Rav Gidl really wanted it, and he didn't feel it was right for him to take possession of the field. So basically, it stayed, stranded in limbo. Leimar Nachaslo, Leimar Nachaslo. Neither he entered the field, nor he took possession. And what did he do? Misgarya Arya Darabanan. It was called the land of the Chachamim, of the Talmidim. Rashi says, Hefker the Talmidim. It was put into the service of the Bnei Yeshiva. They used it, they enjoyed it, because none of these righteous Amoraim wanted to take it for themselves. Beautiful story. Says the Gemara B'chena, Imr L'Isha Isgachili. So we concluded phase one of the Mishnah. The fellow who was Noyeg Minig Ramos, who grabbed the Isha for himself instead of for the other fellow. Done deal, but it's Mineg Ramois. Then we move on to phase two of the Mishnah. Reuven approaches Rachel. He's actually La'achar Shaloshim Yom. The Mishnah says it only takes effect after 30. If Shimon comes right in there and is Mekadosher effective immediately, it is effective immediately. What if Lo'i Ba'achar V'Kitcher, says the Gemara? B'Tayach Shaloshim Yom Ma? What if there's no Shimon in the works? Nobody came and took her within that 30-day period. Problem is, the money that you gave her on day one, she already used, it's been consumed. It's not anymore available on day 30 when that condition with Reuven is meant to be implemented. What if there's no competing husband, there's no Shimon, there's only Reuven? What happens now? Rab Ushmuel. They both say, Da'amr Tavayu Mekudeshes, she's Mekudesh to Reuven, rightfully so. Here's the Chiddush. Va'af HaPishen Es Achlu HaMoiz. Even if the money's gone, it's been spent, how does it work? There's no money at the point of implementation, which is day 30. Very simple. My time. Mahani Zuzi Loi L'muv Adam. These Zuzim, the money that he gave her, wasn't meant as a loan. In which case, you would say it's like a person who's attempting to be Mekudesh by forgiving a loan. It wasn't a loan, it was meant for Kiddushin. Likewise, it's not just like a Pekadin, like given to her for safekeeping, which case we learned back on Af Mem Zayin. The only way it works is if there's some remnants of that Pekadin at the point of implementation. That's not the case. I didn't give it to her as a Pekadin. And the Mor explains. It's not like a Pekadin. Pekadin, Bershusa, the Morakum is Achli. If a Pekadin goes missing, prior to implementation of a kedushin. It's the prior owners, it's the, you know, the account holders' concern. It's his money that's lost, and therefore it only works. It can only be applied for kedushin if there's some remnants of that money at the point of implementation. But here it's different. Sure, the money is spent, but who spent it? It's her expenditure. It was money given to her for her keeps. So it's money that she spent, not his money. So therefore, she benefited. If she enjoyed the money, that's money for kedushin. And likewise, it's not like a milva. A milva nami leidamu. Can't compare it to a milva, which cannot be applied for kedushin, because milva leitza nitna. When you lend money, you don't expect that money to be available for you to take it back. It's meant to be spent, right? So ultimately, when day 30 comes, you can't say, well, let's apply the credit, the loan. There's no money that he's not giving her anything now. It's just like sort of hypothetical abstract value. There's no actual money that he's giving her, as opposed to this case, which was meant for kedushin, strictly for kedushin. Honey, b'ter is kedushin. Yeah, binu nela. Why did I give her the $100 for kedushin? So it could be applied even on day 30, even if the money's gone, because she spent her own money, which was given to her for kedushin. That's called getting value for your money. Furthermore, loy ba acher v'kitcho v'chazer b'mao. Let's move on. Let's say he hands her kedushin today. Implementation, closing date, 30 days from now. Nobody came along, no competing husband. Problem is, she changed her mind within that 30-day period. Can she do that or not? Mahu. We have a machlekes. Big machlekes. Rabbi Yechon Amar, Chayzeres, of course. She can have a change of heart. It wasn't really a full commitment. It was a verbal commitment. So, one verbal, you know, expression can be negated by another verbal expression. I'll say deeper. Umevatel deeper. Right? Her chazara can be mevatel, the initial commitment. Because after all, it was merely verbal. The condition itself did not take effect yet. So therefore, the deeper that she's saying now can undo that one. Rosh Lakish Amar, no. Ein chazara. She can't be chazara. She can't change her mind. I'll say deeper mevatel deeper. The second Dibur cannot undo the first Dibur, and she's committed to the Kiddushin, unless she actually accepts new Kiddushin from somebody else. So that's a Maasa, that's an act that can undo a Dibur, but merely speech cannot undo previous speech. Okay, so bottom line, quote Rabbi Yechanan, one Dibur can be mevatel the other. Not. That's how we understand at this point. Okay? But soon we'll see that it's not a general concept regarding every Dibur. It's only in this specific case. Let's see. Eisvei Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechanan is the one who said, you could be Chayzer. Chayzer was a Ches, like Rabbi Yechanan, right? Easy way to remember. So Rabbi Yechanan asks Rish Lakish, we have a halacha in Maseches Terumos. Reuven entrusted his shliach Shimon with the mission of separating Truma from his crop. And then Reuven turns around and is mevatel that shlichus, cancels the mission. Bitel. Imachalei Torah bitel, ein Truma se Truma. If he did the bitel before Shimon actually got to do the Truma, so the shlichus is batal, and he's no longer authorized to do the truma. Bottom line, v'acha, we see in this case the dibur udibur hu. One dibur followed by another, v'ka'asi dibur mevatel dibur. The second one can be mevatel the first one. That's a kasha on you, Rish Lakish, who says that the isha can no longer backtrack on the deal, on the original dibur. Well, says the Gemara, if it's just dibur, of course it could be undone by subsequent Dibors. when Rish Lakish says she can't backtrack, that's specifically in this case of Kedushin, where it's more than just, you know, words. He actually gave her money. That's a maaseh katan. Although it's not, you know, an actual implementation of the Kedushin from which you can't backtrack, but it is sort of a maaseh. Because, you know, together with that dibur, there was a handing over of money, which accompanied the dibur. So it's more than just words. And that you can't undo with simply a dibur. Shani nesinas mos liad isha, handing money to the isha, is very similar. Dechi maaseh dam, very similar to a maaseh. It's not a full maaseh, it's not a full implementation of a process, but it is somewhat of a maaseh, more than just a dibur. And therefore, it's different than just by dibur, like by truma, right? Truma was a simple dibur. I asked you to do it, then I canceled it. But here it's more than that. And therefore, v'le'yos dibur batal maaseh, the second dibur of the isha cannot undo the maaseh. So before we continue, let's just, you know, itemize it. We have basically three possibilities of chazorah. If there was just dibur, of course, all agree, dibur 2 can cancel dibur 1. Let's go to the other extreme. If there was a true maaseh, I don't know, you makadosh the isha, you can't undo it with the dibur. Machlekes pertains to something in the middle. Some sort of weak maaseh. Let's call it dibur / maaseh. Rabbi Yechon says you can still be chayzer with dibur, or Shlakish disagrees. Ace, here comes another kash. We're going to discover a halacha, a mishnah discussing this middle type of case. And you can do chazor. So he took a get and sent it to his wife with a shliach. And the husband happened to find the shliach on the road, or he sent another shliach to chase him. With the following message: get, you know, the get I gave you to give to my wife, it's bottle. I don't want you to deliver it. This dibur can now be mevatel the assignment. Asks the Gemara on Rish Lakish. This is a perfect example of an in-between case. Handing of a get to a shliach with instructions is very similar to handing the money to the isha with the instructions for kiddush. Dummy, right? The Ketani and the Mishnah says it works. I raise a bottle. You can move vatal. Well, says the Gemara, this is not an in-between case. This is a very basic case of just plain dibur, which of course can be undone by a subsequent dibur. All agree. You know, in that case, until the get actually gets to her, there was no even initiation of any process. It's merely just instructions. It's verbal. It's just dibur, which of course can be undone. Even Rish Lakish agreed. It's very different than kedushin. We gave her the money. Dibur. We have the initial dibur, the dibur, followed by the next dibur. And of course, also dibur, the second dibur can mevatel the first one. Ace favorite Rish Lakish and Rabbi Eichnon. Now comes a kasha on Rabbi Eichnon who says, dibur can be mevatel. Kol hakelim yordin lidei tumasat machshava. So we know that when a utensil is fully produced, fully finished, fully brushed up and sanded and shined, it becomes nigmar malachtoi and it's susceptible to tumah. It's mekabel tumah. So as soon as he makes that decision, okay, I'm not touching this anymore. It's all touched up. It's good. It now descends. Yoyret, it sort of becomes susceptible for tumah. But to extract a kli from this status, to change its status, to have it lose that kabbalah's tumah, that liability for tumah, that susceptibility, you have to do a masa, sort of like break it or change its form and undo that completion, right? So, which makes it no longer susceptible to tumor. And the formula is that masa moitzi miyad masa. A masa, an act, is strong enough that it can actually undo a previous act. Rashi says, for instance, let's say, you know, he's sanding down this item and he says, okay, done. And then he comes back and says, you know what, I want to do some more, and he starts working on it again. So that second masa can change its status. And turns it into an incomplete item. So masa has that koyach. Motzim yad masa can undo a previous masa, yad nachshava from a previous decision. masa strong enough that can undo that, as opposed to a machshava, merely thoughts, do not have that power. Ein mitzia lo miad masa, machshava can't undo a previous masa or a previous machshava. So now, bishlam miad masa le mapka, understand that a machshava is not strong enough to undo a masa. Right, because delay osi dibur umevatel masa, because a dibur or machshava doesn't have the power to undo, to override a previous masa. So once he finished, you know, producing it, the masa sort of commits it. You can't just say, okay, no, you know, I want to do some more and I want to render it a unfinished kli. You can't do that. Eli miad machshava miad topic. But I have a question, says Rish Lakish. Suppose I merely had a machshava. I had that sort of mental, you know, commitment. I'm no longer going to deal with this kli, it's done. So there was no masa that expressed that decision. It was just a machshava or a dibur. So why can't the machshava today undo that? Have a change of heart. You know, I still want to deal with it. I still want to fix it up and touch it up. Why can't that undo a machshava? According to Rabbi Yechanan, if two things are equal, on equal footing, one dibur can be mevatel another dibur. Here as well. Says the Gemara, no, here it's different. Shani machshava de tumah. When a person has a machshava that this item is now done, it's complete, it's nigmar malachtoi, that is not merely a machshava. It changes the status and designation of this vessel, of this kli, of this utensil. It's like it had a physical effect on it. Dichi masa dami, we treat it as a masa. As we find in the pasuk, the Torah calls this like a masa. And of course, it cannot be undone by merely machshava. Right? So all agree that a machshava or a dibur can't undo a masa, and that's the case here as well. Rav Papa, like we find by Rav Papa, the Rav Papa Rami. Rav Papa presented a contradiction, a seeming contradiction. The pasuk speaks about rendering produce roi lekabel tuma, and that requires getting wet. It's called huchsha lekabel tuma, using one of the seven primary liquids. Amongst them, you have water, right? So if you have water coming into contact with a an apple, that apple is now huchsha lekabel tuma. It's been rinsed, it's been completed, and ready for a tumah. Question. The pasuk says ki yiten. Ksiv ki yiten. He actually placed, that water on the fruit. That's when it becomes susceptible to tumah. Huchsha lekabel tumah. Is that a requirement? Physically placing the water on the apple. Let's say it just, you know, rains on the apple, and I'm okay with it. I'm happy. Is that enough as well? Do you have to actually physically proceed and do that? So we have a stira within the actual word. Ksiv ki yiten, v'karinan ki yutan. In its spelling, we have yud, taf, nun, which can be read ki yiten. You must physically place it on the fruit. V'karinan ki yutan. But in terms of pronunciation, we read it as yutan. Water had been placed on that, had arrived onto that. So which way is it? Manual or automatic? Okay, it's said, ki yutan dumer ki dechiyitin. Even if it happens on its own, it works. As long as it's similar in nature to ki yitin. What does that mean? Ma yitin de nichle, just like when you actually place the water, you're okay with it, you're happy about it. I've used it de nichle. Likewise, if water happens to arrive on its own, and you're okay with it, you notice and you're happy about it, this stuff got rinsed, it's clean now, you're okay with it, then it has the same status. So bottom line, we find that the Torah considers this process of Gemar Malacha, of Hechsha Lekabel Tumah, which is also a form of Gemar Malacha, because it's sort of the last and final phase of turning this fruit into a complete item, you know, ready for consumption, etc. So that's called a change of status. It's called like a masa, like the item is now undergoing a transformation. It's a completed item. So even if it so happens that he didn't physically do anything, it was just a machshava, it was just consent, it was just agreeable to what's going on, that creates that change of status. It's considered like it has the same power like a ma'asa in that item, and therefore it cannot be undone simply with a machshav. So all agree that a masa cannot be undone by machshav and a divorce. It's not a kasha on Rabbi Yechon. Okay, so in summary, if there was just a machshav or a dibur, all agree it could be undone with another dibur or another machshav. If it was a real masa, all agree it cannot be undone using these methods. If it was somewhere in the middle, like the case in Kiddushin, here is a ring for Kiddushin in 30 days. So that's sort of a weak masa. There was an act involved, but it wasn't really implemented now. Can there be a chazora? Rabbi Yechon says yes. Rish Lakish says no. So that was one version of this machlekes. That gets more exciting. Rav Zvid Masni Lol Ha'ashmataha. Rav Zvid had a different version of this machlekes between these two Amiraim, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. It pertains to the next Mishnah, over and off Ayin Tes. It was a similar case, but in the reverse. V'chein he, shenos no rishus l'shlucha. In our case, he asked the shliach to be mekadesh the isha for him. Sorry, in our case, he was mekadesh the isha, and then she had a change of mind, right? V'chein he shenos no. In that case, it's like this: she empowered a shliach. V'chein he shenos no rishus l'shlucha. She asked a fellow lekadesh to go find Reuven and accept kedushin for her, right, to do it on her behalf. Now she went and found another husband and was mekadesh herself. So which one prevails? If she did hers first, kiddushay or kiddushin, that's the valid kiddushin, because she did hers before the shliach did his. What if the shliach did the kedushin on her behalf before she got a chance to do her own? Ein kedushah kedushin. So the shliach's kedushin is chal and not hers. Here comes a question. What happens if she appointed a shliach? She didn't go and do her own kedushin. What then? She changed her mind. She canceled the shlichus. Ma, what is the halacha? So, here, unlike in the previous version of the Gemara, where the machlekes pertained only to that sort of case in the middle, where there was a masa that accompanied the dibur, according to this version of the Gemara, the machlekes between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, whether or not a chazara is effective, pertains to a simple case of dibur. She appointed a shliach, and now she's canceling it. Can't she do that? Mao. Rabbi Yechon Amar Chayzeres, she could cancel that shlichus. Rish Lakish Amar Eino Chayzeres, she cannot do so. Why? Rabbi Yechon Amar Chayzeres, she can cancel the shlichus, also dibur, also dibur, vatal dibur, because the second dibur can undo the first dibur. Rish Lakish Amar Eino Chayzeres, she can't undo it. Lo yasa dibur, mevatal dibur, he can't undo one dibur with another. Eisvei. So now we're going to have several of those kashas that we had before, but it's going to be tailored to this version of the machlekes, which pertains to a plain, simple dibur, which she's trying to undo. Eisvei, Rabbi Yechonan, Rish Lakish. So we have a kasha on Rish Lakish who says you can't. From that Mishnah in Trumais. He asked the shliach to do truma. He cancels the deal. Vitel. If it preceded the truma, imachalotaram bitel, then the bitel works. Ain't truma sa truma, the shliach has no right to do truma. Clearly, dibur number two cancels dibur number one. Amaravas, Rava says no. It wasn't just dibur number two, there was more than that. The Baal Bayis did a masa, an action, to undo the dibur, and that of course works. Because action speaks stronger than words. Hach, Rabbi Skinner was speaking, the Baal Bayis quickly went and did truma himself on his crop. The Avalei Masa, it's an expression of Masa. Of course, that undoes the Dibur, which all agree. Esvei Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yechon. Now comes Akasha, back on Rabbi Yechon, who says, Dibur number two can undo Dibur number one. Kala Kalim, write that same Mishnah, we'll just go it quickly. Kala Kalim, Yardim, Ude Tamasin Machshava, Ben Eulim, Tamasin El Bashini Masa, Masa, Maitzi Biad Masa, Ben Machshava, Machshava, Enu Atzia, Le Miad Masa, Le Machshava. Okay, that was the story. Now, Bishlam, Miad Masa, Le Mafka. I understand that a Machshava today cannot undo a previous Masa. Of course, a dibur is not stronger than a mas. Elo miyad machshava miyad topic. But today is machshava. Why can't it undo a previous machshava? And this is a kashan Rabbi Yechon. Our Malays, Rabbi Yechon responds, same as before, shani machshava the tumah, machshava that activates Kabbalah's tumah is not just a machshava, the chimas adomi. It has a very impactful effect on the item itself. It changes its status. It's a transformative decision. It's called a masa, and therefore it cannot just be undone with a machshava. Rav Papa, right? The whole story. Rav Papa Rami, Ksiv Kiyitain, Karina Kiyutan, Okeitzat, Kiyutan Dimu Kiyitain, Ma'itin Denichalei, Afyutan Denichalei. We find that the Torah describes this process as a masa like Kiyitain. Eisvei Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. Now comes Rabbi Yechon with a kashan Rish Lakish, who said that you cannot undo Dibur number one with Dibur number two. Hashaleach get Leisht. So he sends a get to his wife with a shliach. And then he catches up to the shliach and he cancels the mission. Whether he did it directly or through his own shliach, who chased after him and nullified the shliachus. He tells him, right? So this is a straight kasha on Rish Lakish. We see that ultimately, dibur number two can undo dibur number one. You have to Rish Lakish, you have to. We pass on Rabbi Yechonan, filu kamaisa. Even Rabbi Yechonan in the first version, who stretches it a bit further, because in that case, it wasn't just dibur versus dibur. In the first version, the machlekes pertain to a fellow who gave mois to a isha. So that's sort of like a sura maisa. Afilach is still we say asur dibur, matal dibur. She changes her heart. She has a dibur of chazora that can nullify, that can cancel the kedushin. So that's how we paskin. Okay, so let's just summarize. We have two versions of this machlekes. In version number one, the machlekes pertain to sort of a semi-maisa, whether that could be undone with a dibur. We pass on Rabbi Yechonan. In version number two, the machlekes pertain to a simple case of dibur versus dibur. And once again, we pass on Rabbi Yechonan. Now, kashya, hilchasa, hilchasa. We seem to have some difficulty regarding the actual halacha lemaaseh. You see, Amris, hilchasa Rabbi Yechonan, you just told me, we follow Rabbi Yechonan, that dibur number two can undo dibur number one. Even though they're on equal plane, dibur can undo a dibur. But then we know the kaimelon hilchasak Rav Nachman. We follow Rav Nachman regarding what? Regarding that case of a fellow who sent a get and then caught up with the shliach and was mevatel. We follow Rav Nachman. What does Rav Nachman say in that case? Dibur, we had a question on that aloch. Okay, we know that the shlichus is bottle. But what about the actual item, the get itself? I don't want you delivering it, but can we reuse that? Can we recycle the actual get? Basically, the question is, when I'm mevatel the shlichus, what am I doing? How far am I going? It's just a personal canceling. I don't want you involved, but the get itself still stands. Or I might be mevatel the entire package, including the get. Rav Nachman Amar Chayzim Megarish, but you can reuse that same get next time. Rav Sheshes Amar, no, it's a complete cancellation. Einay Chayzim Megarish Bay. And how do we paskin? The kaimelon hilchasa kavsei the Rav Nachman. Follow Rav Nachman. The get is still kosher. And here you tell me that we paskin like Rav Yechonan. The bittel works. If the bittel works, and the get is bottle. No, says the Gemara. He the bat limiter shliach. True, I canceled your shlichos appointment. I'm uninterested in you delivering the get today. I want to have still some time to think about it. But the actual get, I'm not touching the get. Meteras get like batli. It wasn't the batli the get. Therefore, it can be reused at a later date. Or at least on that day. Otherwise, you have a question of get mukdam. Okay, that's a sugi for get. Okay, so that summarized this piece of the Gemara, which pertained to the second case of the Mishnah, which again involved a fellow, Bimakadish and Isha, by giving her something today, an implementation schedule after 30 days. Now we move on to the next case. a second person came and was mekadesh the isha in the interim, what's the halacha? Mekadesh is the shein. Right? Because Reuven's kedushin was not yet chal, didn't take effect until 30 days' time. So Shimon comes in, he's mekadesh, he's got it. Amar Rav mekadesh is l'sheni lo'ilam. She's mekadesh to Shimon forever. Meaning, even when the 30 days are up, Reuven no longer has the ability to be mekadesh because he lost his chance. Ushmuel amar mekadesh is l'sheni. Of course, she's mekadesh to Shimon, but only ad lamed yom, until the 30 days arrive, because at that point it changes. Now Reuven steps into the picture, steps back into the picture. Why? He lost his chance. La'acha lamed yom, pa'ki kedusha sheni. Once 30 days are up, Shimon loses his kedushin, ve'gamri kedusha rishon, and Reuven's kedushin comes in and takes effect. How could that be? Yosef Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda was sitting and he had the following kasha. I don't understand. You know, Reuven had his opportunity. He missed his opportunity. He said the kedushin is only chal after 30 days. By the time 30 days arrived, Shimon was in there. Kedusha sheni with my punky. Why would Shimon's kedushin expire? On account of what? On what merit does Reuven have the zechus to take this issue? Amali Rav Yosef. So you're right. So Rav Yosef told Rav Chisda, you're right. Mar Aresha Masnila, Vakasha Le. The reason why you had a kasha is because you thought that this discussion, this halacha of Shmuel, pertains to the first part of the Mishnah, to the case where it's actually it's the middle case of the Mishnah, where it's just the first of the last two cases, where, yeah, Reuven was Mekadesher only, you know, to be implemented in 30 days. And there Shimon walked in, it was Mekadesher. So it doesn't. You're right, it can't. This discussion with Rav and Shmuel was not meant to apply to that case. So of course it was hard for you to understand. You had a kasha because if Shimon beat Reuven to the punch, he was Mekadesher within 30 days before Reuven's condition took effect. Of course Shimon is the lucky guy. But that's the incorrect version. Rav Yehuda Sefer Masnila. I happen to know that Rav Yehuda had a different version. The Machlekes Rav Shmuel pertained to the next case, the last and final case of the Mishnah, which makes sense. There's nothing difficult to understand on that. What's the case? Reuven told her Ma'achshav Ola'achar Shleishim Yom. A totally different case. Here's the ring. You mekudesh to me. And then he adds cryptic words. Starting now, Ola'achar Shleishim Yom. And what happened? Shimon moved right in there and was mekadesher effective immediately. Mishnah says it's up in the air. It's total confusion. We don't know if Reuven is the husband, Shimon is the husband. It's a totally different case. Because he said Me'aksha. Something's happening now, starting now. Okay, so that's the halacha in the Mishnah. On that, we have Rav and Shmuel that will come and elaborate further on the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says there's a suffix, how long does that suffix last? Does it only last until 30 days or even past 30 days? Amar Rav Mekodeshes, and Mekodeshes Lo'ilam. It's an eternal, all-time, permanent confusion. Ushmul Omar Mekudeshes, Ben Mekudeshes, Ella Ad Lamed Yom. This whole confusion only applies until day 30. Once day 30 arrives, Reuven is the lucky fellow. La'ach Lamed Lamed, once 30 days are up, Paki Kedusha Sheni. Shimon leaves the scene. The Gamri Kedusha Rishon, Reuven's Kedushin is now completed, concluded, and implemented. What's going on? Says the Gemara, there are two ways to look at this, two ways to define this this expression, this term. Ma'achshav ula'achar shleishim yeh. Well, what do he mean? What do he have in mind? Was he changing his mind? First he says, you know, starting now. No, I want you after 30 days. In which case, Shimon walks in on day 20, he's got her. Reuven's not yet on the scene. He changed his mind. He's waiting. He's taking his time. Or you can say, It was just a t'nai. I want the kedushin starting today, but you know, give me some time to to confirm it in my mind. If I don't change my mind within 30 days, I want it to happen starting now. Right? So in which case, if come 30 days, he's okay with it, the kedushin was chal l'mafreya. It's activated retroactively, and Shimon is not a player anymore, because Reuven preceded Shimon. So that's the point of the machlekes. Okay, let's see it inside. Rav wasn't sure. Is he changing the terms? And only wants it after 30? Or is it just a t'nai? Ultimately, on day 30, if he's okay with it, I want it applied from day 1. And therefore, Rav says, this confusion, this Mekudeshes, Heinu Kedeshes status is perpetual. We'll never know what he had in mind. We'll never know who she's married to. She needs a get from both. But Lishmuel, no. It's more simple than that. Pshitele, it was clear to him that Tanoa Havoi, this type of expression, Ma'ach Shavol Achash Leishem, is just a t'nai. I want it starting now, but you know, give me some time to think about it. But once day 30 comes, it's confirmed retroactively. So when the Mishnah says there's confusion, that's only until day 30. Until then, we don't know. Maybe, you know, Reuven will pass away and the condition will not take effect. So she's somewhere in the middle between Reuven and Shimon. But once Lamed Yom arrives and Reuven is okay with the condition retroactively, she was his all along and Shimon is out of the picture. So it's a limited time confusion until Lamed Yom. But once that happens, she is fully Reuven's wife. And this discussion between Rav and Shmuel is actually also Machlekes Tanoim. In Maseches Gittin, we have a similar type of situation. The Sanya, Me'ayom L'achar Misa. He issues a get, and he says, look, Me'ayom, starting today, U'la'achar Misa, and after I pass away. Well, what is it? What is he saying? Is he changing his mind? Is it just a condition? Get, if ain't a get. Divrei Chacham. According to the Chacham, we're not sure how to deal with it. So he gave her the get today with this lashon, and he passed away a month later. Chacham say, we're not sure. Is it a get or not? Because you can't give a get after. A person can't give a get after he passes away, right? So what did he mean? Was he being chayzer? Was he changing his mind? First he says today, and then he said, after I die. So then it only happens after he dies, and it's not really a get. That's one way. Or should we say it's just a t'nai? If I die, I want it to happen from today, so it works. So we're not sure. That's the Chacham's approach. That's like Rav, right? That's like Rav. We're not sure if these things denote Chazorah or it's just an expression of a t'nai. Rabbi Eimer, because I get. Rabbi says it works, because it's just a t'nai. If he dies, it happens from today. So basically, Rav and Shmuel are aligned with Chacham and Rabbi. So why does Rav and Shmuel, why do they have to have their own separate discussion in Maseches Kedushin? Let them just say simply, look, I hold like, Chacham, I hold like Rabbi. Tzricha, there's a point being brought out by repeating the discussion in Maseches Kedushin. There's something we highlighted here. Had Rav simply have said, look, I adopt the Rabban and Shita, we're not sure Safek, we're not sure Chazara, I would say, Hasam the Ruchuka Kasi. You know, it makes more sense by a get where they're separating, and maybe it's something that he's not jumping into. He'd like to procrastinate, and there's good reason to believe that he's doing it with difficulty, and maybe he's really doing a chazorah. He doesn't want it to happen from now; he wants it to happen later on. So there is a good reason to believe that he changed the terms. He started with a reference to immediate implementation, but then he changed his mind. As opposed to Maseches Kedushin, where they're coming, she's coming near, meaning he's marrying her with excitement. So maybe even Rav would agree to Shmuel. That by Kedushin is a totally different equation, and of course he wants her starting now. He's just giving himself a little, wiggle space, a little leeway to think about it. But once that time period is up, the Kedushin is Chal starting from day one. So that's why Rav had to point out his sheet even by Kedushin. We're not sure what he meant. Now at Shmuel, likewise, just simply paskin like Rebbe, that by the Mayam Lachamisa, by the get, it's just a Tanai. I mean, I would say Hasamu didn't get Lachamisa. Over there, we assume it's just a Tanai because everybody knows you can't issue a get after Misa. So he didn't mean that it should only happen later. He meant it happens now on condition that I die. Avalach, when it comes to Kedushin, you know, 30 days is still reasonable. The Yesh Kedushin Lamed, you can make a Kedushin that only takes effect after 30 days. So maybe he meant it as such. He meant to change his mind. You know, I'm going to wait until 30 days and have it happen then. So perhaps over here he would agree to Rav that we're not sure. There's still that chance that he meant that it's only going to be Chal Achalam. That's why we have a separate discussion between Rav and Shmuel by Kedushin to highlight their difference of opinion, the differences of opinion regarding whether we treat it as a Tanai or whether as a Suffolk, which sort of lines up with the Shitas of Rebbe Chachamim in Maseches Gittin. Okay, so in summary, we have a Mishnah with three parts. Part one, I asked him to do a Kedushin for me, and he took the Isha for himself. Too bad, but it's a Minig Ramos, which is in contrast to the Erlichkeit exhibited by the Amoraim in the stories later on. We have next case in the Mishnah where he approached an Isha with Kedushin, which will only be Chal after 30 days. In that case, we say it's just pending. And of course, if Shimon moves in, he can be Kaddish to Isha. What if she changes her mind, she makes a Chazora, and then we move on to the next case, where he was Mekadosher today, Me'achshav al-Achash Leshem Yoyim, and the second fellow comes in as Mekadosher in the interim. This generates confusion. Mekadoshes and Mekadoshes. According to Rav, because we're not sure what the first fellow meant, did he mean tonight? Did he mean Chazorah? So the confusion is perpetual, La'olam. Whereas according to Shmuel, he certainly meant it tonight. So this suffix, this Kedushin and Kedushin only happens until 30 days, because we're unsure as to how things will unfold. But once 30 days are up and this fellow is alive and well and wants the Kedushin, she's his without any concerns. Hatzlach rabbi to b'suros toivus and all the best.